Hello, and welcome to the Power Your Advice podcast, brought to you by Advisorpedia. In this series, we interview innovators from across the financial services industry to help you understand who they are, what they do, and why that matters to you and your clients. And now, please join your host, Doug Heikkinen.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. Founded in 2017, Wellington Altus Financial has quickly grown to more than $30 billion in assets under administration in offices across North America. Today, we have Sean Hauser, the CEO of Wellington Altus, to discover the driving forces behind its rise to prominence as Canada's premier wealth advisory firm. Welcome to the podcast, Sean.
Thanks very much, Doug. Thanks for having me.
So what factors have propelled Wellington Altus Financial to become Canada's top-rated wealth advisory firm?
You know, there's a confluence of factors. The founding members of Wellington Altus were part of a business that was very similar to this business that was sold to National Bank of Canada in 2011. So there's experience from a founder-level perspective, and that has proven to be, you know, beyond necessary in the success that we've been lucky enough to achieve in this go round. There's also, and this is far more present in Canada than I believe in the United States, there's, you know, a massive banking sector in Canada that is very, very dominant. And depending on the repositories of data you read on the Canadian banking sector, I think generally speaking, two-thirds of almost every investable dollar in a small but very affluent country of Canada has its investments in one of six banking institutions, which are effectively government-sponsored agencies at this point. And because of such a large, overwhelming part of the business being managed by so few businesses, you have a bunch of businesses that effectively aren't competing. And when they don't compete, you get atrophied systems, atrophied platforms, atrophied technology. And because of the advancements in fintech since 2011, certainly up until today, businesses like ours with some experience have the ability to do things for what you would call wirehouse investors in the United States that effectively aren't being done with their current bank sponsor at a wirehouse or can't be done at the level we can offer. And so serendipitously, you have the right group of folks with the right experience with a large amount of disenfranchised, large wirehouse advisors who know that they deserve more. And, you know, it's our job to try and present that.
What do you feel are the differences between the wealth management industries in Canada and the US?
There's not massive differences. You know, if you take a very successful advisor team in the US and you compare that against a very successful advisor team in Canada, I would argue that they're going to look, walk, and talk the same. Where the differences lie is in the regulation and the banking system that Canadians are far more used to than their American counterparts. You see, the invisible hand of capitalism in the States is very, very prevalent. I'm in New York today, and I see all these different banks, like JP Morgan's competing with Wells Fargo, it's competing with Citi, it's competing with Morgan Stanley. And the invisible hand of capitalism and the competitive natures around that are live and present. And it's not that they're not that present in Canada, but if you go back to my first answer to your first question, if you have six organizations commanding two-thirds of the dollars, that implicit competition, while there, does not match the vigor that exists in the United States. And as a byproduct of that, you have really big teams that are really not getting what they should get and are smart enough to read all the publications south of the border to know what their counterparts get. And they're not having fun. And in Canada, on top of that, there's also very limited independent competition. And so I use the adjective serendipitous from time to time. It feels very serendipitous that we're the right collection of folks at the right time in the right country with what's feeling like the right model to capitalize on some very fortuitous success since our launch.
You mentioned competition. There is more competition. There's consolidation in wealth management. How can RIA firm leaders like you stay ahead of the curve?
There's an old saying that Warren Buffett says, and he's bang on right as it relates to this answer, and that's what's simple isn't necessarily easy. And we run a very simple model, but it's not necessarily easy to execute. We look for very good quality human beings, and we're very process oriented and how we find them. The truth is, we know if we find a high quality human being in about 45 seconds, and then we spend the next 2 months qualifying that with our brains. And what we've come to realize is if you focus on hiring really high quality, high intellect, high integrity human beings, those folks run great books, and great books have great clients. And what we know in our model is that our client are our advisors. And we know by hiring high quality advisors that they're going to do the absolute best thing for their clients. And if we make happy advisors, we know as a byproduct and as an end result, we get very, very happy clients. And so it's a matter of where we put our focus, and it's a matter of what we look for. And what we look for is simple to define, but not necessarily easy to pull off. But we work hard at it, and we think we're very good at it.
You've grown really quickly. Give us an overview of the M&A activity within North American Wealth Management, and maybe your outlook for its trajectory into 2024.
Yeah, I mean, as it relates to our business first, you know, we just crossed through $30 billion a couple weeks ago. I had an investment banker tell me that, fun fact, Canada actually has less population than the state of California. But if we were an American RIA, I think our five-year CAGRs would rank, put us at the top of the list as far as American-built RIAs with getting to this amount of money in this short time. So that's really cool. And a number of those factors contribute to that success that I've alluded to in my previous answers. I think at the end of the day, if you take a step back and you look at the consolidation and the amount of institutional money, and institutional money can come in a few forms, private equity being a big one, but then you have sovereign wealth funds, and you also have big institutional players like pension plans and whatnot. You're seeing more consolidation and actually JVing between these big institutional organizations for the consolidation of RIAs and wealth advice providers. If you go look at the last 12 months since rates have precipitously increased, you've seen a slowdown in M&A activity, but you haven't seen multiple compression, which is very interesting. And I think that's a signal to the systemic factors in our industry, which make this a highly valued industry. Take a step back for a second, Doug. Our industry is the envy of a lot of different industries when you go look at the characteristics that the wealth management business has. You know, principally speaking, we have no cost of goods sold. I don't have to build anything to sell it. I don't have a receivables issue. I don't have to build factories. I don't have to buy machinery, none of which is, I don't have to depreciate. And then beyond that, my number one expense line item in my P&L is variable expense, which is effectively the trailing remuneration on commission remuneration paid to advisors. Well, good news. That is 100% correlated to my top line revenue, meaning that when markets go down, so does my number one variable expense line item. And so when you take a step back and you look at the characteristics of this industry, and you come to understand just from an industry perspective, what a fantastic business this is from a characteristics standpoint, one can easily start to understand why institutional dollars would want to own part of these businesses. And from my perspective, I don't see that stopping. I think that's substantiated with going looking at the multiples of the kinds of businesses that are being taken out, even in a high rate environment. And I think when rates go back to where I believe the Fed has it targeted, that you'll see an increase in activity, and you could even see potential multiple expansion.
That's a really interesting perspective on that whole thing. Let's get another one from you. The role of private equity. What is their role within the landscape of North American wealth management?
Well, I think it first starts with, as a business owner, what are you looking for? Are you looking to monetize all your hard work, or are you looking to recapitalize your balance sheet? And for us at Wellington Altus, given that we've all had experience in doing this before, we have and continue to only play the long game. And when you know what you're looking for, it's much easier to find. So in Wellington Altus's perspective only, and then I'll give you a kind of a view on the industry. We wanted a partner that was looking to have silent minority capital. So we really looked at this from an investment perspective. And their investment, there being the private equity partners, they're looking to really invest in the founders and the operators of the business. And they're investing in the pedigree and the view of what a successful strategy could be. And for us, that meant a lot, because that means that we're aligned with our capital partners. When you're creating a business and starting a business in this industry, the last thing that you want to drive your strategy with is a debt covenant. That would be a fool's game. And the most expensive form of financing your business to avoid that is through private equity. Now, you're paying for that. You're effectively using the most expensive form of equity financing or business financing there is. But for that, you get the one thing that no other form of financing can deliver, which is the ability to play the long game. And we've been very fortunate to find a couple of private equity partners that believe in our long-term strategy, that believe in playing the long game, and have been nothing short of fantastic capital and business partners since we formalized our partnerships. Where sticky situations can occur is when RIA owners are looking to monetize their business. And if a private equity firm goes and pays a handsome multiple for that, at the end of the day, these two are business folks and they're looking for whatever their minimum return on investment could be. And what happens is this is a people business, but the folks writing the checks are running their model on Excel. And those are two different worlds. And without proper communication and without really understanding as a business owner what's called success, and success, money's part of success, but there's so many other parts. And if you don't really have a firm grip on what success looks like for you in your career and how you want to leave your last signature, then you could fall in the perilous trap of someone that's measuring IRR versus measuring satisfaction. And it's always buyer beware there.
What role will rapidly evolving technology play in the future of wealth management?
It's a great question. As a big investor into different technologies to allow our business to scale in Canada, I've learned a few lessons along the way in being a technology investor pioneer for these wealth advice models. Here's what I've learned. Let me give you a different answer. Let me tell you what technology has yet to do that I've seen anyway. Technology has yet to replace care factor. I have not seen it. Technology is fantastic at saving time. I've seen that in multiple different arenas. Our investments into technology always have to have one to two factors checkboxed. And that is, we are either going to save advisor teams time, or we are going to make advisor teams more money, which usually comes through saving time. And technology is very good at that. You know, what used to take, I remember in our first iteration, we had, I think, 60 employees that would just process paper. And if I kind of parallel 2010 to 2024, well, we actually, that department doesn't exist because we don't use paper, primarily speaking. And so, like, saving time and efficiency and scalability, I absolutely see technology contributing towards, but I have yet to see any form of ChatGPT, AI, or any sort of industry-leading change agent technology replace care factor. And I think that's a concept that's lost in our business. The folks that care about people the best are the ones that typically have the longest and most enduring relationships. And that's something that's not lost on us as operators.
You're growing really fast across a whole continent. So what role does firm culture play in the trajectory of your successful firm?
Doug, it's everything. It's everything. You know, what I always tell folks that are looking to join us is, hey, look, you may join us for a bunch of these really neat features that we're articulating and displaying to you, but please know this, you won't remember us for this. And, you know, it took me 4 years into this gig to understand what our special sauce was. And really, that's selling the good old days. And, you know, I'm in my late 40s now, so I think I'm qualified to start talking about the good old days in my career. And, you know, everybody talks about the good old days in the same perspective. And it's usually centralized around this word called fun. People like having fun. People like surrounding themselves with like-minded individuals. And people also like being around those that care for them, like they care for others. And when you can do that in an environment, what happens is you bring the best out of people and you bring the best out of advisors. And we always tell folks, we want you to join us by being passionately educated versus sold. And we mean that because, you know, this is the second most important decision in people's lives. The first is who you marry, and the second is who you're going to be in business with. And we want you to join us for the right reasons. And when you do, and when you feel that you're cared for and that others care for you like you care for your clients, I think advisors become the best versions of themselves. And I think that's called the good old days. And it took me 4 years to do this, to realize that that is what I believe Wellington Altus will be remembered by, is caring for people and caring for advisors like they care for their clients. It's something that starts with the top down and something we take very, very important.
You've had an amazing strategic vision to get you here. Does that change as you move forward? So what's the future look like?
I think specifically we're Canadian domiciled. And I think in Canada, I think the prospects of our growth have never been larger. If you reflect on the first couple of answers I gave you, Doug, with the systemic situation in Canada with, you know, the banks commanding 2/3 of most investments of Canadians' investable dollars, that's pretty incredible. And with larger and larger advisor teams knowing what they have and don't have and looking for the good old days again and surrounding themselves with folks that care about them like they care about their clients, I think we have a model that's going to endure a bear market, a calamity like COVID, and we'll just keep on going and keep finding good human beings to board this rocket ship and looking for others. And at the same time as well, we talk openly about, you know, reinvesting back into our business and caring for the advisors that are in our business with the same vigor as we do in finding new ones. And that's something that's on our executive team's mind every day. And I think that will also help us continue to project with the velocity that we've seen since we came out of the gates in 2017.
Sean, congratulations on what you've built. It's incredibly impressive, and we wish you nothing but the best for the future.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate that.
To learn more about Wellington Altus, please visit wellington-altus.ca. Please follow us for timely updates on X, LinkedIn, and Facebook, all at Advisorpedia. For everyone at Advisorpedia, our producer, Julia Smolin, our engineer, Tori Miller, and the Power Your Advice podcast team, this is Doug Heikkinen.